Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Welcome to the week, Carrie Bickmore.
Happy summer.
Summer.
Happy summer.
Because this is the first day I've seen that I've worked with you that you're wearing a singlet.
Yeah.
You've got your guns out.
Yeah, guns out. So you've got your guns out too.
Oh, I do. Actually, I do. Buzz. Guns out, suns
I'm rolling my sleeves up.
You are.
Oh, you got some tats there, Buzz.
Yes.
Never seen them. What's that one there on the side?
This
with
one here.
Dots coming out of someone's mouth.
What's it's that? A rose.
That looks like a cover-up to me.
And no, you nailed that.
Yeah, it is.
It?
Yeah,
absolutely.
What does that mean?
Well, see how it's so... There's so much dark ink that it clearly looks like there was something there and now you've covered it with
that. Oh, was it girl's name?
No, a very dark devil.
Oh,
was it?
Yeah.
Sick?
And you've covered it with a rose.
Yep.
So you've gone from Satan worshipping to bachelor fan. I love it.
I love bad tats. Tats gone wrong.
Yes,
that's not all we're going to talk about, but I do like that.
Same.
Our producer's shaking her head because she's implying that I said that his tat's gone wrong.
What
but he had something and he's covered it up. That means it's gone wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and this one's great.
That the one I'm looking at.
I reckon.
Don't be ashamed of bad tattoos, mate. I've got nothing but bad tattoos. Sonda, our poor producer, said to us just before we went to air, tease something that's coming up in the show. And instead, we've just started talking about something we're not going to be talking
something
about.
That people can't see, too.
No, okay, good stuff. Hey, Bickers, what is coming up in the show?
Oh, I have a life hack for you.
Do
I have a tip for you that is going to change your life.
Oh, is this like when I see a list on the internet and they're like, 10 things you didn't know about changing your sheets.
No, it's
six
one thing.
Will rock your world.
Okay. No, I don't change my sheets often enough to be bringing you any tips.
How often? Oh. How much Bickmore crumbs is going around?
Not often.
Oh, gross. How often?
I don't know. I'm too scared to say now. Anyway, I'm going to tell you about my tip next.
I'm not taking a tip from a woman who hasn't changed her sheets in months.
It's not months. Weeks.
How many weeks?
I don't know.
You've built it up.
Why don't you play a song?
You've built it up. Something that's going to change Tommy's life.
Can you believe the bloke with the giant rose tattoo is disgusted by you?
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So normally you do this little segment where you give people life
hacks. Okay, firstly, that's condescending. You do this little segment where you...
This is what your segment's called.
Just the tip with Tommy.
You know...
It's just a tip. It's not a big change of world. It's just a tip. It's a little thing.
That's the thing. I say tips, but they are actually world changing. We did an unofficial poll of listeners, and they said this was their favourite segment
did
on the show.
Did they? Yep. I thought How Dumb Are You was most people's favourite segment.
No, that came out just a bit further down.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to make it even more favourite for them because I have a tip today. In fact, I'm going to steal your
tips. Okay.
And I've created my own segment.
Just the tip.
With Carrie.
Okay.
Yeah. See what I did there?
It's subtle, but I see it.
On the weekend, all right? So I've been trying to grow indoor plants for a very, very long time. Okay. I decided about a year ago, I was sick of going to people's houses and feeling this nice little aura, this little feeling there that's created by the indoor plant.
Yes.
There's a smell, there's a clean air, fresh thing about it.
Can I just say... If your tip is going to be fake plants.
No, wait.
Okay.
Don't ruin it. I don't ruin your tips.
You try.
Well, that was your tip was fold a sock over the clothing line. You don't need a peg.
That actually changed my life.
Well, that's just not
I've
even
a tip. I've been pegging socks up like an idiot, and then I ran out of pegs
for
using
tip.
On things like T-shirts
you
and stuff.
You don't need your tip
What
again?
About
We've
when I did
yours.
The don't shave your feet tip? Did you like that?
You never did that tip. And if you did, I would have told you that's a stupid tip.
It's not
this
a stupid
is a
tip.
Good tip.
Grows back prickly. Yeah. You try.
Got a hair on the bottom of their feet.
You try. Well, prickle feet over here does.
Okay, so I've been trying to grow indoor plants. I went to a nursery. I spent hundreds of dollars on indoor plants. This ferny thing, this like maidenhair fern thing, died within 2 weeks.
Just to check, the ferny thing is actually just a fern, right?
Yes.
Yeah, great. I'm just
no, it's not an adult fern. It's a little fern.
Oh,
it's a baby fern.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Then I tried to grow this fiddle leaf fig thing, and then it's got like lots of holes in it, and it died.
Sorry?
Fiddle leaf fig. That's what it's called.
That's
a
fun fiddle to
leaf
say.
Fig.
Oh, fiddly fig. Yep.
I feel like you're going to use that out of context one day in the bedroom and have some fun with it.
Fiddly fig. Here we are.
Anyway, they're all died. And I put a post out on my Instagram on Friday saying, that's it, I'm done. No more growing indoor plants. They're all dead. My house looks horrible. I've got all these beautiful pots with dead plants. So a whole lot of people said to me, get fake plants, right? And I was like, yeah, but fake plants look fake. right? Anyway, I went to where everybody suggested I go to get fake plants on the weekend, and I bought a fake plant. I bought a fake fiddle leaf fig, right?
Yes.
It looked really real.
Yeah.
So I put it in my pot when I got home, and I was like, still obviously fake because it just is in a little pot inside a big pot.
Oh, gosh. Okay, what have you done? You sprayed it with perfume so it smells
I
like...
I went and bought soil. Yes. And then I tipped soil into the pot that the fake plant's in. So now my fake plant is sitting in real soil. So now my fake plant looks real. And so then I went and bought another one. And now I have three fake plants sitting in real soil in my house. And my house looks amazing.
Okay, great. Two things. Firstly, I love it. Secondly, isn't this what everybody does with fake plants?
No.
What do you mean? I thought that was what you meant to do.
No, because then I put it on my Instagram and everyone was like, great idea.
Oh, in that case, I'm all around it.
Have you been at a shop where you've seen... No, you just see them sitting in an empty pot.
But then I thought you put them in a pot and put dirt in it so they look... But anyway, that aside, it's a great idea. Why are you looking at me so stunned?
You just ruined my tip. I was so excited.
Now you know how I feel with socks and pegs.
No, because my idea wasn't socks over a clothing line. It was a really good tip. It was a life hack.
You wait till the phones melt down and go, this segment used to have... socks and pegs and great things we could use. I really like it.
Can you still play me my happy music that I had ready to go?
Hang on. Your happy music is my happy music.
Yeah, but I wanted to experience it.
There we go.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Isn't it? First. But now I don't feel very
winter-ish. I just didn't know it wasn't a thing. I've got no experience
this
with fake
really
plants.
Isn't
it?
There we go. The first and probably last edition of...
Just the Tip.
With Carrie. See how excited I sounded there in that? With Carrie.
Yeah.
So up and about.
Don't be down.
Now it's just with
it's
Carrie.
It's a great idea, mate. Tip dirt on fake plants.
Anyway, play a song.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Lots of calls coming in. What are they saying?
Yes, I need to apologise. Apparently it is a genius idea. I wasn't meaning to be such a dream crusher. I hate dream crushers
in
sport, so I'm sorry.
I got affirmed on my Instagram. I'm okay. There's 17,000 people that liked the idea, mate.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
That's viral.
Okay, so let's talk about something that's happening in the news today, right?
Talk to me.
When you're pregnant, right, one of the greatest moments is when you get to share the news with your friends and family.
Oh, don't I know it.
For a lot of people, they wait the full 12 weeks because, you know, they don't want to have to share it if maybe it doesn't work out. And so they wait the 12 weeks.
That's the safe mark, right?
That's the safe mark.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people think you should just tell friends as soon as you know because you're going to tell them anyway if something goes bad and you want their support.
Yeah.
Others are like, no, I just want to deal with it, you know, if something went wrong on my own and, you know.
Yeah. Every one of my friends who's told me they're pregnant has started with, I'm not meant to tell you yet.
I know, because half the time you decide you're not going to tell people, but then you can't help it because you're so excited.
Yeah.
You just want to share it with the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a story going around. A mum is furious, a mum-to-be. She's pregnant with
up
her second
arms?
Child. She's up in arms.
Oh,
she's not
mum.
Up in arms because she's carrying her first child, so she can't put her arms up.
One arm up.
She's one arm up.
Bub under the other.
Because she was due to go back to work at her job,
yeah.
Back from maternity leave with her first kid, and she took her boss aside and said, I'm pregnant. Jeez, my second.
That's back on the horse quickly.
I know, isn't it? My sisters are like that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Straight back on it?
Yeah. No, like as in they didn't get back on it. Their mum got back on it.
Their mum got back on their horse.
Yeah, my stepsisters.
Whose horse? Who's doing whose horse here?
They're born very close together. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, sorry. Right. Wow.
Anyway.
That was a family affair
so
in my head.
Okay. Involving horses.
Yeah.
So she said she told her boss, but she was only 9 weeks, but she told him to be fair to say, look, I know I'm due back, but I just wanted to let you know, can you not tell anyone? We're just working our way through it. And they decided they were only going to tell one other person in the office. But then her husband went on a golfing trip with a whole lot of people because they work in the same place, with a whole lot of workmates who all congratulated him on the pregnancy, and word had got out and the whole office knew and she hadn't told anybody.
Also, the boss has just gone. Congratulations.
The boss has gone rogue, told everybody, even though they agreed to only tell one person, the HR person. It was the only person they were going to tell, and now the whole office knows. And she's really upset and she's gone online to say, I'm furious, what should I do? There's a whole lot of people saying, it's really unacceptable, bring it up with your boss. Tricky one because he's the one that told everybody, so
yeah.
I don't think it's going to matter bringing up with him. Others saying, you know, it's so, you know, insensitive, don't work there anymore.
Well, she hasn't got long before she's got some more time off from there. So.
And others saying, don't worry about it. It happens. Get on with life.
How have you had anything like this? How did you broach the news of your pregnancies?
The second one, I did announce it on air before I told a lot of my friends and family.
On TV?
But that was only because I was trying to keep it under wraps, and then I was worried that once I started telling people with Facebook these days, it spreads very quickly.
I mean, also, with the ebbs and flows of the ratings world, a baby, that could be what this show needs. Sonda, we've got a pregnant Sonda. It's all right. I was going to say this show
She's
needs
been
a baby.
Pregnant for a while,
and then I look
though,
over at our heavily pregnant producer, and I'm like, this show's got a baby.
But I remember friends at the time texting me going, hello, like, why are you telling me on national TV that you're pregnant? I was like, I hadn't got a chance to tell everybody. But normally.
Hang on. How far along were you when you said
like,
it on?
I don't know, 15, 16 weeks or something.
Right. Yeah. Were you starting to show?
Yes. Well, I could tell. I was sucking it in a lot behind the desk. But the desk, they raised
the desk.
Does that
work? Just holding your breath.
No, it doesn't. They raised it with your second, it doesn't either because you pop out sooner. But they had raised the desk about 6 months before, so the desk came just above my bump. So even when I was quite fully pregnant, often you couldn't see the bump.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the hidden pregnancy. Okay. All of a sudden, hey, here's a baby.
But often a lot gets bigger.
Did my boobs get bigger? Is that what you're asking? Yes, they did too. And people noticed and they told me on Twitter.
Buzz just wrote me a note and said to ask that. I
know what you mean, yes. And my face got swollen as well.
Our phones
but
are lighting
what I
up
want
again.
To speak to people, I want to speak 13, 10, 60 to people when you've actually, you know, I was going to speak to people who've had their news spoiled. No, let's get people to ring up and announce their pregnancy now. Don't let someone spoil your news. If you're sitting on it waiting to tell the world, ring up and share the news with us. If there's someone you've been wanting to tell, maybe it's mum.
You know
say,
what?
Ring up mum. Listen, mum, to our radio show because I've got some news for you.
Do you know what I'd love? If you haven't told him yet.
Oh, well, that's a different kind of segment.
What?
That's like Jerry Springer.
Yeah. How fun's that?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Is that fun? It's fun for us. I don't know if it's fun for the people involved.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't really thinking about them.
Although it would make for good radio. In fact, call us if you haven't told him. 13 10 60.
Jeez, you came around quickly.
We'll take your calls next.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Feeling crappy?
We want you to get happy.
Hi, I'm fitness trainer Tiffany Hall.
And I'm clinical psychologist Cass Dunn.
Our podcast, Crappy to Happy, gives you the tools to feel happy and awesome.
It's not about a drastic life overhaul. It's simple strategies for physical and emotional health.
If you're into living and feeling better, you'll love Crappy to Happy.
Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au.
No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We're asking you to call us on 13 10 60 if you're pregnant and you haven't told anyone yet and you want to announce it on our show.
Yeah. It's off the back of a story about a boss accidentally revealing that his employee was pregnant.
And before she
said,
was happy to tell
She said, don't
everybody.
Tell anybody.
Yes.
I think we might have gone a bit too hard, though.
What do you mean?
Well, I got excited and I was like, yeah, even if you haven't told him, give us a call. And it's probably a bit much.
I did say that, but then you got me on board.
I know.
Yeah.
And then you came around even stronger. You were like, yeah, definitely if you haven't told him.
I think we might
be asking a bit much of people.
Well, let's see. We've got Courtney on the line. Courtney, are you pregnant?
Yes, I am.
Congratulations, Courtney.
Thank you.
Okay, who knows?
Well, most of my family knows, but I actually just got a promotion at work, so my bosses don't know.
Wow.
Because I don't want to tell them yet.
I mean, well, they have to be legally pretty good about it, don't they?
Yes, they will, but I could see them being a little bit pissed off. They're like, oh, we just gave you this promotion, and now you're going to have to go and leave.
The story of women's lives. I love how you go, legally they have to. Yeah, because that's all they care about.
But I feel a little bit bad still.
So
does that still happen a lot? Is there still a lot of workplaces that are pretty...
Yes,
yeah,
I'm getting the number of people that don't say that they're pregnant for a long time because they're trying to negotiate or sort out situations and they think they'll, you know, lose out. Absolutely.
What a pain in the ass.
But also for small businesses, it becomes a problem because obviously they lose staff and, you know.
And if they only have one or two people there. So, Courtney, are you worried about telling them?
A little bit, yes.
I mean,
both of my top bosses aren't married with children, so
which makes it even harder.
Yeah, I know they can't be discriminatory against me. I still think they'll be a bit upset about the situation.
Well, just for this moment, don't think about that. Think about the fact that you've got a gorgeous little bub on the way, and congratulations, Courtney.
Thank you very much.
Is it your first, Courtney?
No, it's my second.
Okay, that's great stuff. Congratulations, Liana, on the phone. G'day, Liana. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I thought pregnant was going to be the answer.
No. So, Liana, before we get to it, are you going to tell someone something now that they don't know?
Yeah. So, my fiancé had been away for over a month on a holiday, and he got back a few days ago and he's back at work. And I haven't told him that I'm 13 weeks pregnant. Yeah. I found out when he was away and I didn't want to call him because I knew he'd come straight back. I wanted him to, like, finish the holiday.
So do you think will he be listening now?
Yeah, I texted him. I was like, listen to the radio. I think I'm winning a competition.
Oh, wow. What's his name?
Michael.
Michael, you lucky man. Congratulations.
Yeah. You have won a competition in a way. You've won a baby. Yeah. That's the best prize
it's
ever.
It's just usually with competitions you win money, and this one's going to cost you a fortune in the long term. Liana, is this your first?
Yeah.
Oh, it was tricky when you said that you were pregnant but he was away. I was trying to do the math, and then suddenly I was like, this is not going to end badly, is it?
He's been away for 6 months. I'm 3 months pregnant. Liana, do you know yet if you're having a boy or a girl? Is there anything more we need to know?
No, I don't know. I'm undecided whether I want to find out or not. So might leave that up to him, I guess.
You could find out and then just put it in your wallet or something or put it somewhere. And then if you change your mind, you can always look at a later date.
Or call us back and tell him to listen to the show again. And we'll tell him whether he's having a boy or a girl.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hey, perusing through the news today. And I noticed this bloke, he was tooling around on an overseas trip for 8 months.
Oh.
And he reckoned he got
I wish I'd done that. I never got to do that.
You never did your gap year?
No.
You didn't go to the UK? That was where all my mates
went. Did you go away?
I never did a long period of time, no. I went and stayed on my mates' floors and stuff in London for a little while.
That's still fun. Like, I started working and then I never stopped. Do you know the only time I've had off work is when I've had my two babies? And that ain't a holiday. It's the only time.
Is it too late? We could do Carrie and Tommy's gap year. I don't think that title's been used before.
No.
Let's do it. This guy's name is Gavin Fernando.
Oh.
And he looks like a bloke. He's got backpacker written all over him. Wait till you see this guy. There you go.
Oh, he'd be having a great old time.
Wouldn't he? Yeah. He would be tooling around in every sense of the word. And he reckons he got done by all these different scams, right?
Oh.
And so some of the more common ones, the money exchange, switcheroo.
Where was he, sorry? Is it not about the place? It's
Amsterdam,
just while he was
Morocco, everywhere.
The money switcheroo.
Yeah, so he changed money over.
The currency exchange.
Right.
Yes.
So he said they either count out so slow that you get sick of it and just take the money. They either skim some off the top.
Yeah.
Or this one, it was they swapped different coins. So they looked like euros, but they were actually whatever this local currency was that he couldn't swap.
And for some reason, you're really trusting when you're on holidays, I reckon, because you're in a good headspace. You're like, no one's going to do me over. Like,
me?
Sun, the Aussie?
Sunburn Tommy? Sunburn sucking back a six-pack before midday Tommy? Why would they? A kid's pickpocketing him. Things like that. People offering him advice on directions and then demanding money. But a lot of these, I thought, this bloke's just a sucker. I thought, how can he get... And then I brought it up with our producer, Sonda, and she had one of the greatest. Son.
I was 18 years old and I was in Paris and I was at an ATM trying to get money out and a lovely gentleman came up to me and said, let me help you get your cash out because it's all in French. And so I gave him my card and my PIN number.
You are an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
And then what happened?
Well, then my boyfriend, who's English at the time, came up and he's like, this guy's robbing you right to your face. I was like, is he?
He's so sweet and Parisian.
That's right. He was like, he's French, he's helpful. He's seen me and he's thought, she's an idiot. I'm going to rob her, hasn't he?
But did he have the French laugh? You know, the...
I have your money. I don't even know if it's robbery if you give them your card and your PIN. I think it's actually giving.
That.
Yeah, yeah. The cops, you're too embarrassed to report it.
What did he do to you? Nothing. He just asked for my money.
I realised I had a ripper when I was in Thailand and I had the most typical trip you could imagine. I was 19 and I went with all my guy mates and the first thing we did was when we landed was get matching Von Dutch hats.
Like, and
we
were Bintang t-shirts.
Oh, such. Yeah, that was us to a T. But then at the end, my girlfriend came over and joined me. Boys left, girlfriend came over and joined me. And we did a few days and then we went to Bangkok. And everywhere I'd been, I'd always just got in tuk-tuks and gone, just take us to a nice restaurant. Well, we landed in Bangkok and I did the same thing in Bangkok and she goes, are you sure? This is quite a big city. Are you sure you just get in? And I was like, oh, babe, you don't get it.
Thailand Tommy's all over this.
Thailand Tommy knows what he's doing here. these are the friendliest people in the world. They took us to this little restaurant down this like seven wee stained alleys away, right? And we've got there, and I got out and I go, geez, that's friendly. There's no one else really at this restaurant. They're friendly. And they started showing us all the food, and none of it had prices on it.
Oh.
And it was all by weight. But I thought, oh, that's cheap. Thailand's cheap.
By weight.
Right? Yeah, by weight.
Right.
And so we just ordered a few things, and they suggested a few things. I mean, I thought,
oh, yeah. The crayfish.
These people
would
have
loved to suggest that. It would have cost them a bit.
And then the dishes came out, and they were without a doubt the hugest piles of food you have ever seen, like a mountain of food.
Like
on
me
each
at a buffet.
Plate. Right, yeah. Right, exactly. And we even started talking to each other. We thought, well, how are the people so little if this is the size portions of food they're dishing up? And then they gave us the bill at the end, and it was like astronomical, right? Because all the food had been by weight. They'd given us these huge portions of food. And I was like, oh, we don't have this much. And so I went to give them the money, and I had my wallet, and then we went to walk off. And that's when four of them separated me from my girlfriend, surrounded me, and they said, you'll come with us to the ATM. And I said, oh, no. There's been a bit of a misunderstanding here. Thailand Tommy doesn't need to go to the ATM. You've got all his money. And they said, no, Thailand Tommy needs to go to the ATM. And they drove me to the closest ATM and then stood there while I pretty much, not quite maxed out my car, but got money out to pay for this dinner. Yeah.
Hectic. Has Thailand Tommy ever been back to Thailand?
He has, like three times, actually. Been to the same restaurant. It's big servings and delicious. Here's what I want to know. 131060, when have you been scammed overseas?
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
131060, asking when you've been scammed overseas.
Yeah, we're talking about overseas scams because there's a news article today about Gavin Fernando, who spent 8 months touring around overseas and got scammed by nearly everything you can get scammed by. And it reminded me of when I was in Bangkok, and I just said to a tuk-tuk driver, take me to a nice restaurant. And he took me to his mate's joint in a
loaded
alley,
you up with
off
food
an alley,
and then
off an alley, and then charged me everything for it and insisted that I go to the
insisted
ATM.
Politely?
Threateningly. Four of his mates who insisted on standing very close to me.
We got Dee on the line from Sydney. Dee, when have you been scammed overseas?
I was in Rome and I was at the Colosseum taking a photo of myself, and these two guys dressed as like gladiators came up and said, oh, do you want us to take a photo for you? And I said, yeah, and I thought it was all fun. And then they told me if I wanted my camera back, it was going to be 50 euros.
Oh, my gosh. And how many times would they be doing that a day? They would be raking
non-stop.
It in.
But I have a photo of me with a very sour look on my face and two gladiators on either side.
And did you pay the money?
Well, I had to because I had my whole camera, like everything I take photos of. So
you would think their choice of outfit, like if there happened to be a cop close, they're very identifiable and they're not going to be able to run very
maybe
quickly in the clanking army.
Maybe there's a lot of gladiators there, though.
There could be. Well, it is the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm the idiot here.
They're
again
not standing outside the Eiffel Tower in a gladiator outfit.
Let's go to Nick from Newcastle. Nick, when did you get scammed overseas, bro?
Mate, we were in China and we're like, oh, we're in China, let's go get a cheap massage
with
the family. So we walked into this Chinese place. There was three Chinese ladies in there. We walked in and sat down. By the time we sat down, each person, our family, so the four of us, had about nine people around us doing different sorts of things. And we're like, they kept saying, do you want me to do this? I was like, oh, okay, do that, that's fine. And my sister said, oh yeah, just do that. And it ended up costing us about $600-$700. We didn't realise how much.
Was it the best massage you ever had in your entire life?
No, I was too sore the next day.
Is it the first time you've had a full family work on you, though?
Oh, mate, it was unbelievable.
That's, I mean,
yeah, too many hands. I struggle with a massage with one pair of hands, let alone six pairs.
Six pairs of hands. That's a thing, though, isn't it? Like a double massage thing?
Is it?
Isn't it? Two people at the same time?
I don't know, mate. You're telling the story. How often are you getting that done?
No, never. But Buzz, is that a thing?
Yeah, I think it is. You can get
get other people to say that it's a thing when you know it's a thing that you have done often.
Oh,
Heather, how did you get done it overseas?
Hi. I was backpacking Thailand when I was like 18 or 19, and I got money stolen from me three times in like 2 days. I was on a boat, and the staff stole my wallet while it was like underneath. Then I checked out of a hotel, left my wallet, like the rest of my money under the pillow, went back, it was gone. And then I fell asleep. I had to borrow money from my dad, and then I fell asleep and on a like sleeper bus. I had taken a sleeping pill, and someone must have like crawled under the seat and stolen like what was left.
Heather, this is when you're in Thailand, and I do have to apologise because I did steal money off you to try and pay for my dinner that I had in Bangkok.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, there is something that I've known has been brewing for a little time now, because about 2 weeks ago, maybe a bit more, you burst into this office and you said, "You've got to read this book." Mm. And you were shaking a book in your hand in my face. What is it?
Yelena Dokic's book, Unbreakable. Yep. I did an interview with Yelena last week, which is going to be on the project tonight. And, you know, we like to read the books before we interview. And I could not put this book down. It was the most harrowing story I have ever read. I think if you remember Yelena during the years that we all used to watch tennis, you know, in the 80s and 90s, I think she was 11 when she came out to Australia from Yugoslavia, and we'd see her dad yelling abuse from the sidelines, and everyone thought, you know, crazy Dokic family, and no one truly, I think a lot of people thought her dad was pretty abusive, like verbally, but I don't think anyone fully understood the extent of the abuse. And there's almost not a page of this book that doesn't detail some level of physical abuse that he inflicted on his daughter behind closed doors. And it is just brutal how she managed to survive, like literally survive, times when he beat her so severely she was knocked unconscious, and yet when she'd come to, he would continue to inflict this pain on her. What this girl has been through, she is unbreakable, which is the title of the book, and yeah, she's really happy now, which is wonderful, but full on.
So I've only seen so far one tiny clip from the interview that was used last night to advertise it, and all I saw from that tiny clip was I saw the confidence of a woman that I've never seen in her before.
Yeah.
It appears like, has she come out of all this stronger on the other side?
Oh, absolutely. But she also is being herself. So for so many years, we'd see her at press conferences and her dad would be telling her what she had to say. So she'd be saying things. They'd be asking her about her dad or why she performed in such a way. And she wouldn't say what Yelena wanted to say. She'd say what Demir, her dad, wanted her to say. Yep. So now she's finally speaking her words. It's her story, and it is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, and it's heartbreaking for a number of reasons, but one, because even when she left his grip, her life has been really, really hard getting, you know, over something as traumatic as that. But yeah, she shares her story with us tonight, and yeah, it is fascinating but incredibly heartbreaking as well.
I will be watching, because I will be watching.
That's all we got time for, I think.
That's right. Hamish and Andy in next. They are putting the final touches on their Hamish and Andy Cool Boys and the Frontmen Private Jet World Tour. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a great afternoon, guys.
Bye.
See you, bro.
The Carrie and Tommy Catch-Up Podcast is ready to download now from the Hit Network app.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @CarrieTommyShow.